Hi everyone, welcome back to Prevention Nation,
where we believe education and awareness can change the culture of violence. I'm Abby Wallace.
And I'm Roy Lutz. Welcome back to Prevention Nation. It's Roy here with Caitlin, and we have a fantastic guest today. What's your first name?
I'm Victoria.
Victoria. Okay, so Victoria, how did it come to be that you are a guest on this podcast?
I'm an intern here. I met Caitlin through my women in literature class at school. She was teaching us about prevention and all that, and I was just like, I want to do work here with them. It's a great organization, and I love it.
Okay, yeah. So, yeah, what?
It was kind of meant to be, because you are an internship class, and your internship fell through.
Yeah, they didn't get back to me.
Yeah, so when I show up, and I'm like, we have an internship, she was like, that's me, I'll be doing this. So, it was meant to be, and you have done just such amazing work so far, so I am so glad that like, worked out perfectly.
Okay. Yeah, it doesn't surprise me. She's done amazing work because I've had the opportunity to talk with her for a few minutes, and she seems like a very bright young person. But real quick, you see, in the women in literature class, any particular woman in literature that stands out to you is really important? Is that a tough question? I might have to erase this part.
Kind of. There's like so many like important women. I know we actually just did a presentation about like for Women's History Month about women that have made an impact. I actually did a domestic violence survivor. Her name was Tracy Thurman.
Okay.
She was the first woman to sue a county because her husband had stabbed her, I think it was 13 times, and left her paralyzed for months. But she had reported the abuse to the police, and they didn't do anything about it. They brushed it aside until she was left paralyzed. And then she finally got like a permanent restraining order. And I think she got like $1.3 million for doing all of it. And there's like, people go back to the laws with that. Like, there was like a law on domestic violence that's named Tracy Thurman. And they go back to it on new cases.
I love that. I love when there's, obviously I would like it if there was never a case that prompted a need for a law. But I love when people use their experience, as tragic as they often are, to actually create change that like is not just like change in like my local town, but policy level, legal, legislature change. That's super cool. So that's cool that you're that you read that. And
I love that you wanted to bring a domestic violence survivor into your like Women's History Month presentation.
Everybody was doing like the people that you always hear about. And I wanted to, like, go back into somebody that you don't normally hear about. Like, there were a couple people going back and doing things that you're, like, reading about women that don't really know. But I thought that was, like,
that is perfect. Cool.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, because you could have picked the first woman doctor or the first woman this or the first woman that. But, yeah, I think this is very related to our work, obviously. And I think that just is the question of you in general. So I understand you have a bit of a story.
Yes.
And for our listeners, you know, we're not going to go into all the details of the story because it's a complicated story, as most of our stories are. But I would love to know a little bit about, and I have our listeners know a little bit about who Victoria is. Like, what happened to you?
So this past July, I had gotten into an altercation with my parents where I was being hurt and I ended up fighting back against my parents, and it got to a point where the cops were called. I'd been asked for like my side of the story, and I showed and told them about how like I had hair missing, I had my earrings ripped out of my ear, and I actually had a bruise form 3 days later from when a door was slammed into my ribs. But it didn't show up. So that was something that the cop had said to me. He was just like, we don't see any physical evidence of abuse on you. But I did end up leaving a pretty big bite mark and bruise on my father's arm.
Yeah.
And it had been bleeding really bad. So I was taken away in cuffs and I had been charged with domestic violence against my parents. Not by my parents.
Yeah. And your parents, from what I understand, were pretty insistent that they didn't testify against you. They didn't want this to be pursued.
No, they didn't even... They, like, my mom and my dad were trying everything to get these charges dropped. They refused to testify against me. Like, they refused to give a statement against me because even they knew it was out of self-defense.
Well, and I just... I think your story, and we talked about this briefly upstairs, but I think what interests me so much about your story is that, one... the concept of domestic violence isn't the same across the board. This concept that, you know, we hear domestic violence is always around control and coercion. Well, it doesn't sound like from your story that you were after control and, you know, coercion or to seek power.
No.
So, you know, I just think it's one of those things where obviously not everything fits under a very perfect definition, right?
Yeah.
So... But yet somehow law enforcement and prosecutor's office determined that this was, it fell under their definition.
Yeah, in the report it actually said that I had knowingly caused harm against my father.
Yeah.
And not once did it cross my mind that I was going to be harming my father in any way during this entire altercation.
Right, I imagine the altercation itself was a bit of a blur, right? I mean, when you're escalated.
Yeah, looking back at it now, my adrenaline was... so high. I remember bits and pieces, actually. Like, I was trying to, like, go back, but I think my mind has just, like, blocked out most of it. But I just remember he had got me in a hold, and I just wanted to get out.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's a blur in places, but...
Yeah, and I think there's, And I'm going to draw a terrible parallel here, so if I have to delete this, I will. You know, I just think what's interesting is that we see this play out. I honestly, I've never seen it play out quite like yours as the perpetrator or alleged perpetrator.
Yeah.
But I've seen it play out like this a lot where a victim, in fact, there's a, you know, Denim Day is around an Italian case where the victim... unbuttoned her, you know, her pants and stuff because she had very tight jeans on,
mm-hmm.
and that was determined as to be consensual. And it's like, to fight back, if I fight back and I cause harm, I'm somehow a perpetrator or a person in trouble. We even recently did a podcast on the Gabby Petito case where, you know, and I'm not sure if you're familiar with that, but Brian Laundry, he had an injury on his face, despite the fact that she had injuries too, but because he had a more obvious mark to them, she was determined to be the perpetrator.
Yep.
Fighting back, how is that also... You know, I just don't understand where that... They weren't as concerned with determining what really was happening. They just saw an injury and said, you're the perpetrator.
That's kind of what happened. They saw more of an injury on him than they did me.
Yeah.
Because mine were smaller.
So what did that feel like to you? Like... going away in handcuffs, going to jail, getting a charge, appearing in court.
So, I had actually been put into cuffs in my front yard where all my neighbors could see me. Thankfully, there wasn't any out, but I have some pretty nosy neighbors.
Yeah.
But I was standing in my front yard, and at this point, my adrenaline was, like, wearing off, so I just... stood there straight faced. I looked at the cop and I said, just do it. And he goes, do you want to do it here or behind the car? I said, just do it right here in front of my parents. My grandparents had actually shown up to the house as well, so they had watched me get put in cuffs, and I was like looking at their faces and I'm like, they're scared of me. That was running through my mind, like, on repeat, they're scared of me. My parents had watched me be put into cuffs. My mom was bawling her eyes out, and like, I just stood there and I was thinking in my head, like, you did this to me.
Yeah.
And as much as I know they didn't do it to me, like, it just was running through my head. I'm just like, this could have been avoided.
Yeah.
I was put into the back of the car, and the entire ride up, I was just blank. Like, no thought behind my eyes. Just looking out the window, I'm just like...
I wonder how that showed up on their reports. Sorry, that's it's just a perception thing, but I'm sure that showed up as you know, she was remorseless and callous, and
I was just blank, like, done. I just wanted to go back to my bed, honestly. They had taken me, and they actually had to, like, search me in my body. And I had just come from a pool party from my soccer thing.
Yeah.
So I was just, I was in a bathing suit underneath all my shorts and shirt. And I was just, she had to feel and make sure that I didn't have any weapons or anything on me. Still blank-faced, like, what is going on? Like, nothing was in my mind. And then they took my fingerprints. They took me back into one of the rooms to question me. I had this guy. He was really hard. He was asking me a bunch of questions. And then thankfully, I had a nice lady come in. And she had offered me food because I hadn't eaten. She offered me, like, some water. And then they took me away from my prints. And then I feel like that's when it really started to click in my brain. I'm like, oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
And they were taking my prints. And I'm just like, this is really happening. It was just like, this is not happening right now. Like, and then they called my grandma asking, if she could take me to her house because I couldn't stay with my family, at least until the courts allowed it. And I remember telling the lady, I was just like, I don't want to go with her. Cause I just remembered in my mind, I just remembered her looking at me like she was scared of me.
Yeah.
So I had actually opted to going with a different family.
Really?
And then my mom had called, and they got a hold of my mom, and they handed me the phone, and I just heard her crying, and she's like, please go with your grandma. They're just like, we'll do anything, like, just please go with your grandma, we can't stand you being with anybody else. And I feel like just hearing her tears, I'm just like, okay, I'll go to my grandma's if I can have my dog, because my dog was my person at that point.
Yeah, what kind of dog do you mind if I ask?
Chocolate Lab.
Okay.
So I'm kissing, love her.
Thank goodness it wasn't a doodle. I'm sorry, I have a real thing against doodles. So Chocolate Lab is wonderful.
She's amazing. She is like, I swear she's my anxiety dog. Like, she always knows when something's going on.
What's her name?
Hazel.
You told your mom, I'll go to grandma's, but I need
Hazel. Like, I need her. She actually ended up, like, sleeping with me at my grandma's house that night, like, on the little air mattress that I had. She laid right next to me, did not leave my side the entire time.
Dogs can sense that when, like, nervous systems are all out of whack.
Yes, and actually I had a soccer game the next morning, so I didn't get home until about midnight that night, and I just remember I was laying on that air mattress looking up at the ceiling, like, still trying to process almost, like, what just happened, and I did not sleep that night. I had to be up at 6 for my game, put on my stuff, like, I didn't sleep a wink, and...
Yeah, how do you sleep after that? Yeah,
like, how, like, I was still processing it even the next day. Like, I'm just like, I can't, like, I couldn't get it through my mind, kind of, because I never thought that would happen.
So, okay, so fast forward to a couple things, and then we can get into, I think, what is the important part here of, you know, why you're involved with us and what you hope to do. But, like, a couple things, like, so you were adjudicated.
Mm-hmm.
For what was the adjudication for?
First degree misdemeanor of domestic violence.
Okay. So, and then you're put on some form of house arrest or some restriction.
Yeah, restrictions.
You had to go through some, you know, services, assessments, whether or not you're drug addicted or, things like that. So you go through this process. Are you done with the process now?
Yes, I've been done with the process for about 3 months now.
3 months and you're sharing your story. You're ready. You're out there sharing your story.
Yes.
Which I can't say enough, and I'll say it again. I'm just so proud of you. And so I just, the courage it takes to share your story. But a couple questions I'd like to know before, you know, we get into the other stuff is, one, how are you and your family doing now?
So much better.
Okay.
Honestly, my mom and I, we've always had, like, a rocky relationship, and I feel like that was when she realized she just she's growing up.
Okay.
Like, she's growing up. I can't try and control her completely. She is growing up, but I can at least keep her close. And I think that was, like, an eye-opening for her. Like, we better, like, calm down a little bit and, like, let her have that freedom, but also not.
Yeah.
My father and I, though, we have gotten so much closer. Like, he apologized to me. He looked at me in the eye and he goes, I do not hate you. I love you so much. And I'm so, so sorry. Cause even he was just like, I did not know it would get that bad.
Yeah.
But we're honestly doing so much better. And what's crazy is my brother actually does not know any of this happened.
How How old is your brother?
He's 12. Okay. He had actually been at a friend's house.
He doesn't listen to podcasts, right? No, this is going to be a real problem.
No. Yeah. He was 12, or he is 12, and he had been at a friend's house that day. Did not know. My mom just told him she's staying at grandma's house for a little bit. Didn't know any of the court stuff was happening. I mean, he was a little confused on, like, why my dad and I weren't talking for a month. But he's young. He just brushed it off the shoulder, honestly.
Yeah.
But I'm, to be completely honest, he's been my rock through everything.
Okay, that's good.
So, just, I don't know, having him in the home has also kind of helped my relationship with my parents.
Yeah. Yeah, I bet it has.
Yeah.
Well, I'm really glad that you and your parents, you know, because we've talked about this a little bit, again, before we started the podcast, but, like, as a parent, well, and just as a person who's, just, I think all three of us sitting here can realize, or smart enough to realize, that sometimes going through incidences, things can get out of control really fast. Peer pressure, you're at a party, or you just, I mean, almost anything can get out of control really fast once things start snowballing and getting building. So I'm so glad that you and your family have come to the realization that none of you had an intention going into that situation to harm or hurt each other. It sounds like it was very fear-based on their part about some of the concerns they had. It was very fear-based on your part, just being hurt.
Yeah.
So I guess the thing that I struggle with is that, why doesn't a system, when I think about mentioning Gabby Petito earlier, there were so many things that the system failed that couple and subsequent family in. And I just think to myself, why with your family situation, why such a deliberate pursuit to get somebody charged with something when your family seemed, based on what you're telling me anyways, that you would have been ideal for some sort of mediation services? Like, you know, listen to the kid and the parents. They're both expressing some concerns about each other's behaviors. Let's implement some services, put some programs in place, monitor the family for a little bit, give you an option to resolve the conflicts and develop and strengthen. I just don't understand why there wasn't a mediation program, which I think would be far less expensive than prosecutions, adjudications, and ultimately what you have to do is then do an expungement process. I mean, good grief. So
I really do wish, because I feel like that would have been so much better, and it would have given me... I wouldn't have had so much anxiety and stress over the situation. Like, I still stress to this day about, like, fighting with my parents. Like, whenever we don't fight, but, like, we do get into arguments.
Conflict is normal.
Yes.
Very normal. But now conflict feels different.
But now it's just, like, I feel like I have to be careful with what I say. Like,
and I'm sure they feel that, too. They probably feel like, I have to be careful to not do something and interpret it this. And then if they get you fired up...
Yeah.
And then are the police going to come and arrest you because you already now have a history? Mm-hmm. So.
And that's why I'm, like, so scared to, like, get into arguments. So, like, I've, like, kind of backed off almost. And I'm home, but I'm not home as much. Like, I try and keep myself busy with, like, work. Or, like, on the days where I don't work as much, I'll be, like, out with a friend. Like, I'll be home and, like, I'll have time with my family. But I try and keep it minimal because I'm scared that something will set that off. And I do not want to go through that again.
Yeah, I can't believe it. I'm really sorry that that's going to be a thing, I think, for probably a while.
Yeah. I know I've been trying to work on it, especially with me going off to college next year.
So where are you going?
I'm actually going to Miami.
Okay.
Go Redhawks.
I guess.
Okay.
Go Redhawks.
What are you going to college for?
Education.
Okay.
Yes, I want to be a English high school teacher.
Oh.
I have to wonder if you've been influenced by any specific teachers you might have in your life.
So, Snyder was actually the one that made me realize I wanted to teach high school.
Yeah.
I was originally wanting to do, like, second grade elementary school, but I wrote my college essay with Snyder, and it was actually about a lot of, like, family stuff and, like, all the mental health stuff with being in high school, and, like, how I've overcome all of it, and it made me realize, like, I want to be that teacher that somebody can rely on. Like, I want to be, like, I know there's, like, personal things that kids don't really want to talk about.
Yeah.
But having those close teachers like Snyder and then my other teacher, Miss Sondels, they have been such an important person in my life. Like, they build those connections with students.
Trusted mm-hmm. adults. They're
yes.
important.
Yes. And I feel like I could tell them anything. And I have really opened myself up to that. And I want to be that kind of person for students.
Just to brag.
That's crazy cool.
On Snyder for yes. a second. So, women's literature is not typically a class we do our power program in. Okay. She reached out to us directly and was like, hey, is there anything you can come talk to this group of girls and one boy
yeah.
About? Because we do have, you guys call him your token male
yes.
in your class.
Okay.
They, yeah, they have one boy in the class.
I was that here at Safe on Main for yes. many years until Jericho came
and
on.
And he does offer his opinion
yes.
when asked.
Yes, and it's amazing. Okay. Like, he's a quiet kid, but he's honestly so sweet, and he will get his opinion in on
yeah.
there.
Good,
so,
good
but yeah,
for him.
Snyder reached out. She said, I have this, like, amazing group of students, and I went last year as well, and was like, can you come talk to them about healthy relationships? And I just think this is really important. And because she gets to build her own curriculum, she was like, I can make whatever work, just like come in. So we've developed such a good relationship, but she is that teacher that there's no judgment. I hear the things that are talked about in that class, and I'm always like, I mean, I love it that everybody feels so open to have those conversations, but it is not typically what happens in a normal class.
Yeah.
So I hear the kids, what is it, on Mondays and Fridays, okay, here's the challenges I'm going through the week, and here's how I managed it throughout the week. And it's, like, such
yeah.
an amazing environment. And Ms. Snyder is one of those people that there's no judgment there. Mm-mm. Like, she really does want the best for you. She
and
realizes...
she'll be open and honest with you. Like, she...
she will be so for real.
She will. She'll be, like... She's looked at me in a couple situations. She'll be like, Victoria,
yeah,
you got this. Because I actually had to message a girl about being my roommate and how I had picked another girl because we clicked more.
Yeah.
And I was telling her, I'm just like, I'm so scared. Like, she's going to hate me. And Snyder looked at me. She goes, Victoria.
You need to be honest.
You
need
to be honest.
Open.
Like, you need to
yeah,
be honest.
Handling conflicts right away and directly is oftentimes the best result.
Yes.
Yeah, when you let it build and fester.
Yes.
You know, I mean, I don't know if that's the case, what happened with you and your parents, but I mean, when you let things go unaddressed
yeah.
for a long time, they
yes.
become very, a lot more heightened and escalated.
Yes.
So,
but
yeah.
I could see Snyder
good
being
good for Mrs. Snyder.
A, like, figure point for, like, your whole life. Even though you're going to graduate, you're going to go on to do amazing things, I know. But she's probably going to be somebody that you go back to
yes.
and, like, check in with.
Yes.
So I love that you have that. I think that's so important.
Absolutely. That's one of the protective factors that we value very highly here at Safe on Main. It's something I think a number of us have in our own personal history is that one caring adult that's outside of our
yes.
home that just made a difference in our lives. I know I have mine, and I'm super glad that you have yours. So, okay, Victoria, so you go through this incredible incident. It shakes up your family. Real quick, did it also help strengthen your relationship with your grandparents?
Kind of.
Okay.
I know they understand me a little bit more, kind of, because I had dealt with a lot of mental health stuff.
Yeah.
And, like, they never really addressed it.
Yeah.
Because my parents didn't want them to. But now they're, like, not, like, make jokes, but, like,
they feel more comfortable.
They feel more comfortable. And, like, they'll ask me how I'm doing. They'll ask me, like, do you need anything?
Okay.
But before, they would be, like, I would only see them, like, on occasion. And I wasn't really as close. But now, they're, like, they text me now. And they're just, like,
yeah.
How are you doing this week? Like,
we built a safety net.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, well, I was really hoping that it did something
yes.
there, too.
Yes.
But, okay, so you go through this incident. It shakes up your family. You are in Ms. Snyder's class. You meet, you know, Caitlin. You are planning to go to college,
yes.
become a teacher yourself, and have an impact on young lives. What is it? Why did you get involved in this youth engagement project, then?
Caitlin, when she was talking about all of the healthy and non-healthy relationships, like, and then she was talking about the work that you guys do here, I'm just like, wow, this is so powerful. And I feel like a lot of the stuff that this organization deals with, it's very kind of taboo.
Mm-hmm.
Like, people don't like talking about it as much, but it is something that happens.
Yeah.
Like, it's kind of like almost a gray area where people don't talk about it as much. And it happens, especially in Warren County, as much as people don't want to admit it, like, it does happen in the world. And you really have to have the resources, and you have to know what the resources are. So I know I'm working on a school project for April, Sexual Assault Awareness Month, and Child Abuse Awareness Month as well.
Child Abuse Prevention Month.
Yep. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be working with my school about spreading that awareness and spreading all the resources and, like, giving more information about it. And that's what I honestly love doing with Safe on Main. Like, I love being able to help get that awareness out, because you never really know. Like, I guess you can say, like, you never really know, like, what's going on with people. And a lot of people don't speak up about it, mm-hmm. like, because they're scared or, like,
something. They feel ashamed.
Yes, they feel ashamed. But I feel like having those resources, like, even if it's, like, one-on-one things, that can make such a big difference. And I love the work. And I love the interns that I work with, too.
Yeah, you've been busy this semester. So yes. We organized an entire thing for Teen Dating Violence Awareness mm-hmm. Month at a basketball game. It was mm-hmm. senior night. So we didn't engage with a whole lot of high school students. We did, but actually from a different school.
Yeah.
It was the school, and they're an out-of-county school, so not somebody that we typically teach, but they wanted to talk all about healthy relationships with us, which was nice. I mean, I like that we're spreading awareness even outside of the county, but we had a lot of younger students that were coming by as well. Yeah. Like, they were just very interested in boundaries and red flags and green flags and their relationships, because relationships, you know, look like all different types, friendships, dating relationships, family relationships. Yeah. So you did a lot of really great work there. And yeah, now we're gearing up for the crazy month, because we're doing Sexual Assault Awareness Month, Child Abuse Prevention Month, prom prevention, and then May is Mental Health Awareness. Yes. So we are busy, busy, and you are definitely such an important part of that. I definitely want to mention how resilient I think you are. Just brag on you.
Mm-hmm.
I do think that I get to work with the best group of students, and I tell everybody this. Anybody that I'm like, what do your interns do? And I was like, well, what don't they do? What can't they do? They're amazing. And something that's really important to me about having you involved with us as well is that you're somebody that you show, like, you don't have to let your past be your future,
mm-mm.
right? You set your path. It doesn't matter what happened in the past, you can always move forward. And I think that's just such an important message, and that's why we're doing this podcast.
No, yeah.
No rain, no flowers.
No rain, no flowers. That's a good one.
I'm actually getting that tattooed.
No rain, no flowers. That's no rain, pretty no cool. I like that. Well, then my last two final things that I'd like to know about you, or I'd like to just comment about and hear your input is, one, I just think something you commented earlier about raising awareness and talking about things. I want to affirm to what you're saying, how true that is, and to our listeners, how important it is that when we talk about things, it normalizes it, and it takes away the taboo element of it. It makes it, easier to discuss and easier to disclose. I have personal family experience about that. I have, two daughters who went through some pretty significant situations, but because our home is the kind of home where we just have such an open dialogue that they were able to disclose it and get the resources and supports in place. But whereas families and communities in general who are not talking about these things, they don't handle it well, and which we're about to see with Youth Engagement Project coming up in a local community viewing of, the Roll Red Roll situation. We saw a community handle, because they had no dialogue about it, they handled the situation terribly and destroyed lives. So we've seen communities, make really poor decisions. So I guess my final question to you is, what do you want to see, not just your work, because you're a senior, so you don't have, like, next year to do, what do you want to see happen with Youth Engagement Project in general, whether it's you or in general? What change would you like to see us affect in the community?
I feel like just making it seem as if it's not something to be ashamed of, because I feel like it's something people have to be so ashamed about, because nowadays, like, everybody's just like, oh, you can't talk about that, like, you're gonna get canceled, and it's just, you can't really be as open with it, I feel like, nowadays. I mean, you never really could be open about it, but it's just, it's such, like, a hush-hush thing, and I want to be able, especially at my school, I want to be able to have more of those school events where, like, people will be more engaged, be more like, oh my gosh, like, let's, like, talk if you're going through something. And I just, like, I just don't want it to be so hush-hush.
Yeah.
I don't want people to be ashamed of it. Like, I was, I'm not gonna lie, I was ashamed of my situation for a few months. And
yeah.
Having Safe on Main and, like, Caitlin, like, I've been so much more open and, like, realizing, like, that did happen to me. But mm-hmm. look at how far I've come.
100%.
Yeah, I think that's a perfect place to close this out on. This, it's your story. There's no reason to feel shame in having your story. Our stories make us who we are, and is, you know, and unlike a lot of people, your story's going to turn out great because you found, you had those caring adults, caring adults, and you had supports around you. And I just think that's important to close out this, putting out to the community that whatever you're going through, whatever you experience, have a support system built around you. Don't be ashamed of your experience. Understand it's who you are. Caitlin, I'll let you close it out. Is there anything last you want to say? Or
I think we're going to close it out with a Victoria quote. No rain, no flowers.
No rain, no flowers. Thank you, Victoria, for being on.
Of course, thank you.